All right, welcome back in. Our pre-show for Game 3, Blazers and Spurs, continues. 105.1 FM, The Fan here. Good morning, everybody. Let's talk to our good friend.
Willie O.
Is he going to tease me today? Am I going to get a tease?
Oh, he teased us twice.
I think he's gone
a little viral for both. He thinks a certain player might be playing,
okay,
and a certain player might be coming to Portland this summer.
Enticingly looking at Bill Orem, the columnist at The Oregonian, at Bill Orem on Twitter. Go give him a follow, OregonLive.com. Bill, good morning to you. Why are you such a dirty tease?
I mean, that's a conversation for another time, I think.
I was going to say that's a conversation for you and your wife. You don't have to do that on air.
You think you're a good tease, Bill? You think you're good at teasing?
Yeah.
I just like telling people what I know and what I'm hearing. And, you know, one of the fun things about this time of year is, you know, I've had a chance to be around the Blazers a lot more than I was during the regular season. It's kind of taken me back to my NBA beat writing roots a little bit. And, you know, you see a thread and you start tugging on it, and sometimes you're a little surprised about what you hear.
Well, I'm kind of scared to text you anymore after reading your articles. I feel like I strike the wrong nerve at the wrong time when I reach out to you about your articles that I read all the time.
There's a reason for that. That's because you want to nitpick the smallest
stuff. Yeah, he does.
Stuff.
He's a nitpicker.
And instead of like, wow, thank you for contributing positively to the media landscape in a city I love. It's like, why did you use an apostrophe in paragraph 9?
That's egregious. That's a lie. I've never done that. I'm not a grammarian. Now, that being said,
he's making fun of your Christmas tree over here. God, he's just taking shots left and
right. You brought that up, Dirk. Don't even
relent.
Say that.
He never relents.
What I would say is me even reaching out about the article should be the compliment in itself. I'm always reading the wonderful Willie O and Bill Orem at OregonLive.com. Right now, though, I will say, for all the sourcing people are doing in the streets, I got a text last night on regards to your article that said Dame playing is a plus 850 on Friday. And I was like, whoa. Those are pretty long odds that he's even going to play right now. Do you really feel like it's going to happen? We're going to see Dame Lillard out in uniform.
Do I think it's going to happen? I would not bet my house on it. I think what is interesting here is that when I woke up yesterday morning, I would have said absolutely no chance. This is a guy we've not seen play, you know, full court. As far as we know, he hasn't been scrimmaging. You know, he's looked pretty relaxed around the team. There had really been no signs of that he was, I mean, obviously he's been working out and rehabbing his Achilles, but there'd been no sign that he was like attempting to really ramp up with a goal of playing this year. And, you know, there've been a couple of, you know, teased, to use your words, from, you know, Tiago Splitter and then the Blazers social team. And I mostly thought they were trolling. And then I started asking around, and basically what I've been told is that the Blazers are open to the possibility, and they, you know, it has not been ruled out. I had one person tell me yesterday, it's not the craziest thing to think that he could play now. So, I mean, that's a long way from him actually coming out on the court. That said, Dame does march to his own drummer in the sense of, you know, coming back to Portland was a bit of a surprise. I don't think a lot of people expected him to do that. And then, you know, the idea of him making a triumphant return during the postseason, you know, that would be the most, like, dramatic and theatrical thing that could happen. Now, that's a terrible reason to actually come back and to short-circuit his rehab if that were to be what happened. But if he is truly 100%, if he has done the work to ramp up and we just haven't seen it, you know, there's a case to be made that he could really help the Blazers. I mean, they need shooting. Yeah. You know, does he need to be himself in this playoff series? Were he to play? No. I mean, you could run some actions for him and have him, you know, spot up, and, you know, he could be pretty lethal in this series or going forward. But I really think this only happens. I think it's in play if the Blazers are somehow able to beat the Spurs in this series, which I think is still a pretty tall order. Mm-hmm. You know, so I mean, if this series ends up ending in 5 or 6 games, as I think we kind of all sort of anticipated before Wemby got hurt, then it's probably off the table. But the fact that it's even being considered, to me, is the news.
Yeah, it would be incredible if it does happen. You just imagine the eruption in the arena. His first game back, who would have thought it would be in the playoffs based on where we were when we signed him a year ago? Bill Orem, our guest, columnist at The Oregonian, at Bill Orem on Twitter. Go give him a follow, OregonLive.com. Can find all of his great work there. There's so much in the news about Tom Dundon right now, and I'm sure we will ask you about that. Part of me is just like, can we just get to the offseason and focus on actual basketball? Because it's been a long time since we've had playoff basketball here.
Totally.
When you look at the game tonight, and I'll also kind of connect this back to Game 2 and Game 1 for that matter, What does Bill Orem make of Scoot Henderson and the way he's playing? Because we famously years ago had Myers Leonard light up the Golden State Warriors in Game 4 of the Western Conference Finals. I think he had 30 points in the first half. And like 2 years later, he was out of the NBA. Certainly was never that level of player, but it ended up being kind of a flash in the pan moment of like, ah, remember that Myers Leonard game in the Conference Finals. Do we view what Scoot has done more as that or a light bulb going off? Like, how do you observe and evaluate the way Scoot is playing, which is certainly at a high level right now?
I mean, I have been really slow to believe in Scoot Henderson. If you go back his first 2 years, I just wasn't seeing it. The confidence that we saw with the G League Ignite wasn't there. His decision-making wasn't good. I just felt like maybe the Blazers had made the wrong choice. And, you know, and I think that you'd still make an argument that they maybe could have done something different or better with the 3 pick in that draft. But in this moment, guys, I'm in on Scoot Henderson. Like, he has wowed me with his ability defensively, his buy-in defensively. That's something that has, you know, absolutely exploded since he came back from this hamstring injury. And then, you know, the Blazers are not putting all the decision-making in his hands like they did the first couple of years. They're not asking him to be, you know, the primary decision-maker on the floor. You know, you have Drew Holiday, and next year you'll have Damian Lillard. Denny Avia has been, you know, essentially the point guard for 90% of this season. So what that has done is it has really freed Scoot up to be Scoot and to be a spot up shooter, which is not something I think we thought was going to be part of his game. Right. And to, you know, be the kind of that secondary attacker. And it's been terrific. I don't know, you know, I think so. The Myers Leonard comp doesn't work for me because Scoot is getting it done with his defense, which is creating transition opportunities, yep. Which is, you know, opening up the floor and spreading out the defense. Like, you know, that seems way more sustainable to me and something way easier to believe in and invest in. I don't know, you know, I don't think we're still seeing, you know, the signs of Scoot that's like he is a, you know, the Russell Westbrook, Derrick Rose level player that maybe the Blazers hoped they were drafting back in 2023. That said, like, he looks like a really, really good NBA player to me. And like somebody who now I'm like really in on being part of the foundation. Shaden Sharp, like, take him or leave him. You know, but Scoot Henderson to me has really separated himself as a foundational piece of this core in the same way that Jumaane Kamara, Donovan Klingon, and Denny Avdija are. I'd even take it a step further, guys. Ooh. And that is, you know, we've talked about, you know, you hinted at, you know, me mentioning that the Blazers are going to take a run at Giannis this summer.
Yeah.
That is true, but it is, you know, very much dependent on the ability to get Giannis to buy into an extension in Portland, which is a huge question mark, and that could kill it entirely. But, you know, the one thing that, you know, in terms of like what the Blazers would want to offer for Giannis or any player they're trying to make a splash with in the summer, you know, I was told that, you know, hey, like, you know, essentially Denny, Jumaane, and Klingon would be off the table in any kind of deal like that. And you're running out of players to put together an attractive package, but at least conceptually, I would want Scoot to be in that tier as well, given the way he has played in this series and in terms of the way he has separated himself from kind of the Scoot of the past. I'm really in on him. I think he's been terrific.
The hell would we think if Dame got sent in that trade? It's like, wait a minute. I thought they didn't want it and we wanted it back. What are we doing here? Hell, all right, we can't. Like, I hear everything you're saying about Scoot. I don't know what the Giannis thing will be. I'd imagine any team that's trading for him is getting the agreement that he's going to get the massive extension. So we'll have to wait and see. I just, the Dundon stuff, man, like it's almost impossible to ignore. I've equated it actually coincidentally to Giannis trade chatter. I've already become exhausted by it. It's like, hey, you heard he's cheap. It's like, yeah, like 9 different times. I understand it. I totally get how teams operate and should operate and all that. Like, but also, it hasn't been very long. Like, there's got to be a window, as bad as some of the stuff is. I don't care about the T-shirt thing, but, like, you know, the coaching stuff and how he's operating in that realm and is he looking at other GMs and all that stuff. I have to kind of do a wait and see. And I think any rushing to he'll learn from this or this is definitely what it's going to be for the next 20 years and all that, I just find it a little bit premature from the media angle in our market. I know you've written about it. I know you've heard stuff about him. I understand he's cheap. Just what you've made of the Tom Dundon stuff the last, like, week or so of it just continually coming out and the being cheap and the masseuse and all this other stuff.
I mean, guys, we've been talking about the sale of the Blazers and Tom Dundon in the arena since, what, like, August?
Yeah.
And have I not been saying the whole time that this was going to be a wake-up call and a rude awakening for the Blazers,
you
for
did.
Blazers employees and Blazer fans? This is what Tom Dungeon was advertised as. This is what he did in Carolina. You know, he gives zero Fs, if I can say that, mm-hmm. over the airways. Like,
yeah.
he doesn't care. And, like, if he does care, he doesn't show that he cares. He is, you know, I don't think that he is, like, a mean-spirited person. Like, I don't think this comes from a place of malice, but he has an idea about the way things are done, and he's going to stick to it. He doesn't think a coach should be the you know, he doesn't want to spend $10 million a year on a coach because he doesn't think that the coach makes $10 million a year worth of a difference. I disagree in the NBA. Like, in the NBA, I think it's completely different than the NHL. I think an NBA coach sets the culture, has way more impact on the game. It's the face of the franchise. You know, I really feel strongly that that is an area that you should invest. Now, if you can score a great value or you can invest on the front end of a great coach's career, absolutely. But you don't start from the point of, like, this is how much we have to pay, who will take it? So I have a lot of feelings and thoughts about, like, Tom's approach to things, but none of it's surprising, given what we have heard about him and what we know about him. Mm. And I think that, you know, like, people are, you know, clearly reacting to the various, you know, cost cutting.
Mm-hmm.
I think people are right to be concerned, but they're reacting to the wrong things. There's still not a deal for the arena. There is still not a lease. You know, I know KGW reported this this week, and we have our own coverage on mm-hmm. this as well. But you know, the city is not a done deal by any stretch
yep.
when it comes to providing its piece of the arena deal. Tom Dundon is going to make that negotiation really, really difficult. And there are people on the city council who are prepared to, you know, draw a line in the sand. And, you know, that is not the guy that you want to be, like, you know, playing chicken with. You know, calling his bluff could have serious ramifications. And I understand the concept of not wanting to just capitulate to what the billionaire is asking for, but you also have to be prepared for the consequences of that. So I actually think in some ways, you know, the shirts, the coaching search, the checking out of the hotel, the masseuse, all that stuff is distracting from what actually really matters here. Like, it's part of the same pie, but I would be more concerned about the bigger picture stuff in the future of the team and the arena.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I think it's a great point. And back to your article that you originally wrote on that topic. Last one for you. I'm just curious. Let's hope that the arena stuff gets resolved and clear heads prevail. And all right, the funding is passed. Here we go. When you look at Dunn, and it seems like there's a kind of two sides of this coin. One is, this is a disaster. It's going to continue to be a disaster. If he keeps cutting costs, this isn't going to work in the NBA. And oh my God, the Blazers are doomed for years of ineptitude. Or there's the Adam Silver approach. He was on a podcast that was like, guys, give him some time. Like, he's a smart guy. He's winning in the NHL. Like, he's going to figure this out and evolve based on what does or does not work. I'm curious, do you find yourself somewhere in the middle or one more on one side or the other of that argument of, if the arena stuff is resolved, where this goes and what it looks like 5 years from now?
You know, I probably am in the middle, but, like, actually sort of tilting toward Adam Silver's perspective, which is, you know, once this actually gets, you know, right-sized in Dundon's mind, right? Like, once he gets, you know, the organization to the size that he wants it to be, which is a really nice way of saying, like, you know, fires enough people to get it to,
right.
you know, a manageable size in his mind. You know, once he sort of gets comfortable in the NBA, learns how to navigate. I think that's been part of this problem, is that a lot of it has been him just coming in and being himself without any regard for, you know, the way the NBA operates, functions, without, you know, it hasn't been very tactful, right? Like, mm-hmm. it's just been sort of a bull in a china shop. And I think either the league and the city will adjust to him and that will become more normalized, or he'll adjust and bend a little bit to the way that the league works, and he'll learn a little bit more about how to move within the league. And I think, you know, ultimately, the only question that matters mm-hmm. in matters like this is the team winning? And Dundon does have a track record of winning. I think that, you know, I think it is not an apples to apples comparison. I don't think he fully appreciates, like, how visible an NBA owner is. I can name maybe two owners in the NHL, and that's only because they own NBA or NFL teams. Like, it's not the same. Being an NHL owner does not have the same level of celebrity in this country that being an NBA owner does. And frankly, that's, you know, it is a symbol of such a degree of wealth that that's part of why Tom Dundon wanted the team, right? Like, in terms of, like, growing his profile as a as a, you know, as a man of incredible influence in American economics. Like, it's just like, this is what you do, but it comes with a much higher profile. And I think that that profile is something that maybe he wasn't even entirely prepared for, because the level of scrutiny that he has encountered in the NBA, I don't think is like anything he faced in the NFL, or excuse me, the NHL, yeah, at least outside the confines of Raleigh.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I also, the only thing I chuckle at, I don't like all the cheapness and the stuff that gets reported out. It's not great. I'm being a little more open-minded, I think, than some of my media peers. It's also a very gossipy league. It's like the new girl at the high school who's trying to sit at the table, and the minute she says hi awkwardly, that girl goes and tells 10 other girls, she said hi with such attitude and rude. And like, I feel like it's almost a movie in that sense. And so it's like, when people are texting me about it, it just...
They have a burn book? Is that what you're telling me?
It's just, the NBA media is different than all the other media. I'm not saying other leagues don't gossip. It just feels very gossipy and third-hand information. Like, you yourself literally contradicted the report of he's only offering $1 million for coaches. You had a report that he offered 4. Now, you can say 4 is short for Mike Malone.
Yes.
But you yourself reported it was 4. It wasn't 1. If it was 1, it'd be like, holy crap here. And you might still be worried about it, but it just, it's such a gossipy league. And that, I kind of come to hate the league in some ways because of the way it's covered. It's like, do you hear about the draft or the trade intel? And it's like, well, what about the sport itself? And that's what this is. The guy's at a Final Four drinking a beer, meeting with a college coach, and somebody snaps a photo or hears a conversation secondhand, and it becomes this big firestorm. So I'm not trying to absorb Tom Dundon of any blame here, but also, it's a gossipy-ass league, dude, and people talk to people, and what happens when people play telephone? It gets way worse as the story goes on.
Are you going to allow me to defend my journalistic integrity, or are we going to go to break with you having
Sorry, I'm not even going at you. No, I'm giving you credit. You contradicted the $1 million report. It's like he offered 4 to 4.5 to Malone. Yeah, that's not one.
So here's the nuance around that, right? Well, there's multiple things. One, they were never going to hire Michael Malone,
right?
For a multitude of reasons. One, he's not a good fit for this roster.
No doubt.
Like, there's a reason that he didn't work out in Denver, and like, as a master tactician and a half court guru, that does not fit the way the Blazers play at all. So like, Michael Malone was a bad fit, but the idea of contacting Michael Malone or being interested in Michael Malone would be a symbol of their aspiration. And I think maybe Taylor, you could sub in Taylor Jenkins, who just went to Milwaukee, mm-hmm, there, as a proxy for Michael Malone in this conversation. But I don't think I ever reported there was a cap. I think people have landed on this idea that there was a cap of $1 million or $1.5 million. No,
right,
that is a target. That's what they would like to pay.
Right.
But they also, like, they're going to do their due diligence. They are canvassing the league. You've got a bunch of people who haven't worked in the NBA who are trying to get smarter about this. So, like, talking to people and saying, like, who should I talk to? You know, that is all part of this process that they are doing. But when they did, like, have conversations about Michael Malone or coaches of that tier, they did show a willingness to come up and to invest more at a level of $4 million, which would make him about the 28th highest paid coach in the NBA.
Right.
So it's not serious.
Yeah.
And so like literally what I was told was that, yes, we've had conversations with about those people. They never did speak with Michael Malone. That's just simply not true. But they have had conversations about those people.
Mm-hmm.
But those conversations got capped at like a way low ball price tier. And what I was told was, and we may still end up hiring a coach from, you know, college for $1.5 million.
Yeah.
So they want it both ways. They want people to think or to believe that they are like at least open to going higher and doing the, what I would consider to be the more reasonable or prudent thing.
Mm-hmm.
But like, the chances are still that they're going to do exactly what we've been saying, which is find somebody who is going to take a BS offer to coach the team and be a head coach in the NBA.
Right.
So, I mean, there's nuance around this. I hear what you're saying, but yeah. I feel like I really want people to understand the nuance, yep, of this situation.
Yeah, totally fair. I hear Brandon Roy's available. He's not currently coaching right now. Let's go make that hire. We went way long there. We're going to be in a little clock trouble here.
Up.
This is what you do when you talk
up,
to
dirt.
Willie O. When Willie O's on the phone, you go long. We love chatting with him. Columnist at the Oregonian, OregonLive.com, at Bill Orme on Twitter. Thank you so much for the time. Enjoy the home playoff game tonight, and let's do this again soon.
I'm looking forward to it, guys. That was fun. Thanks for letting me ramble.
There you go. Bill Horan from the Oregonian. Let's go ahead and go to break.
Let's break.
I don't know what next segment will be, but it's whatever's less than a Diet Johnson is what it is.
A shot of Johnson.
We got some more Draft the Blazers stuff to get into, and that's still around the corner on the Fan. All right, welcome back in.
See
Swags just delivered some breakfast burritos.
Did you go machaca?
I went machaca.
You did?
I got my machaca
over
here.
I've never had machaca.
I got a big day ahead of me. I need to get a burrito in me, you know?
I got chorizo.
You got to fill my hole. Swags filling my hole today, baby. Welcome back. It's great to have you back. We missed you.
He's just awkwardly standing between us. Hi!
Also, unaware that, you know what, we got to go because we're already...
Well, he's the one. It's his fault.
It's all his fault. He shows up and we go over the clock again. Look what happened.
Brandon was distracted. I tried to break. That's
it was.
And he wasn't.
We were ready to break. He wasn't paying. He's talking to people in there.
That's why I talked at the end there.
God, how about that Bill Orem, huh? Just won't shut up, will he?
Yeah. Well, also, he took kind of the wait-and-see approach.
Which I think is a rational approach.
And he gets okay to say that. You could also be concerned.
Yes, without a doubt. There are very concerning things.
But I want to see if he
learns. And I also am with him in terms of the city council stuff. That was always the concern about the funding. It wasn't the state.
The city was going to get weird.
The state was going to shove it through, yeah. And then you get into Multnomah County, and you're going to have some, you know. Exactly. So... I'm with him there. Big concern. Lots to get to in the final hour of the radio show. Guess what, folks? It's almost here. We will spring the line. We got stuff to gamble on today. I ain't going to gamble.
I mean, really?
Yeah, I ain't going to gamble. I almost hit a hockey parlay last Friday. I went 2 out of 3.
I'm kind of riding a heater right now.
Exactly. Let's ride our heaters together at 9:30. Some more NFL draft thoughts that we haven't gotten to yet. We haven't talked about the Duck guys, where they're going. Spring games tomorrow. I know you talked about that yesterday, so probably not a lot of time in the final hour. Game 3 tonight. Lots to get to. Load of final hour next. 105.1 FM The Fam.